This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Continuing the message from last week, this is part two, and last week we talked about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. I know for some time I've been saying I'm going to teach on this, I'm going to bring this out, and so now we finally got to that point, and I think it's good that we do that because there's so many things that we can see in these churches that hopefully we can relate to us, okay? The title of this message is, What Church Are We Like? Okay? What church are we like? And then I could put a little different is, what church am I like? Anybody here today? Amen? Last week we talked about the first three churches. I'm not going to go over them again today. I'm just going to briefly tell you what they were and what they were known by. Okay? It was the three churches. And let me say this before I get into the teaching again is, this is what was given to John. He says, what you see, I want you to write. Okay? And this is for the churches. And many people believe here the seven churches are seven different ages. All right? Different time periods. I kind of look at it maybe too as maybe seven different stages that the churches might go through. All right? You can look at it different ways. The book of Revelation, a lot of what's in the book of Revelation can be symbolic. Okay? You cannot take every single word per se in the natural because there's spiritual meanings to a lot of what is being said. But a lot of it you can take at face value. Okay. So what he's saying here to the church is we need to take it at face value and bring out some points here about all different churches. But the first church was the church of Ephesus. Okay. And this church is known as the active church. All right, the active church. But who remembers from last week, because some of you were here last week, who remembers the one thing that stands out in your mind when we talked about the church at Ephesus, even though they were active, they were persistent in service. I'm just going to read some of my notes from last week, and I'm probably going to put them up there. They still have them from last week. They were sound in doctrine. They were strong in discipline. But they were one thing, major thing they were lacking. Who remembers that? Thank you. Praise God. I know, but you know that, so praise God. Amen. They were lacking in love, or they were deficient in their love. Okay? And because of their love was growing cold. And because of that, they were backsliding. So today we can have a church that is active, okay, involved. Really doing the things we're supposed to do. You know, having sound doctrine. I mean, they had everything that you would want the church to have, but their love was deficient. Okay? We got to be careful. We don't ever let our love grow cold, because that's what was happening at this church. So, things may look good, but they may not be good. Amen? How many know looks can be deceiving? Somebody on the outside can be looking okay, but inside they could be a mess. All right? So the church could look good on the outside. There's a lot of churches today that they're packed out. But just because they're packed out and everything looks right, it doesn't mean everything on the inside is right. Okay? Only God knows that. So that's what happened here at this church. The second church was the church in Smyrna. This was the poor but rich church. Okay? They were poor when it came to natural things. Okay? They were lacking in natural things, but they were rich in the Spirit. So today we can have a lot of things, you know, physically, but if we're not rich in the spiritual things, we're losing out. Amen? Because the natural things only are going to be here for a while. They only last for a time frame. All right? You will never be satisfied in this life unless you have God working in your life. Anybody here today? Amen. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the material things. How many know there's many people who, in our time, people who have done tremendous things financially wise, but some of those people, in the end, even there's stories about different ones who actually had thoughts of suicide, and they were not in their lives. They just don't feel satisfied. They haven't, you know, really come to a place of satisfaction or peace, and they got all the money in the world. Amen. They got all the things anybody could want, but those things don't really give you the satisfaction that God gives you today. Amen. I should have got a few amens. Praise God. The joy that God gives, it doesn't come from things. Amen. It's special. All right. So this church was the poor but rich church. They were faithful, and God commended them in that. But He told them not to fear, because they were going through a lot of persecution and tribulation. That's going to happen. Going on. The third church was the church in Pergamos. This church was the heretical church. They allowed heresy to come in the church. They were steadfast, though, all right, in the things of God, but they allowed evil surroundings to come in. They allowed evil associations to come in. And because of that, they were infected with heresy or false doctrine. So we got to be careful as a church that we don't get connected with things we shouldn't. Okay, we don't want any kind of heresy in our church, any kind of false doctrine, because it will infect you and hurt you in your walk with God. We want to be clean, amen? We want to be pure before God. We want to be genuine before God. So this was the church in Pergamos, okay? That's where we finished. So today I want to begin from where I left off with church number four. Church number four, we read about church number four in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Okay? This is the church in Thyatira. Let's read and see what it says here. Verse 18. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works." He says it twice there. "And the last to be more than the first." So those are the good things. He commends this church in verse 18, but he says, and 19 I should say, but in verse 20 he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now, there's some similarity here to the church that we read before, okay? They kind of allowed false doctrine to come in. And I'm going to give you more explanation in a minute here, but let's read the rest of this. He says, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come." Now every church has a blessing at the end that we read about. The blessing of being an overcomer, a conqueror. He says here, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers or shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him that morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now that's another thing. Out of every church that we read about here, at the end he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. How many know today you got two ears? Are you hearing today? Amen. All right, we need to hear. Praise God. Now look at this church. This is the church that is called the church of the false prophetess. The church of the false prophetess. Okay? Now you say, well, you know, why do they look at her that way? Well, let's first look at the good things. We read here that there was good works being done in this church. Okay? Good works. Actually, when we read those scriptures, we saw it said a couple times. In verse 19, he says, I know your works. And then he brings it out again, and thy works. You know, God is saying to this church, I know what you're doing. You're doing good works. Okay? He says, I know your love. He says, I know your service. So we see good things here that they are doing. But how many know you could be doing good, but you can be doing bad at the same time also? And that's what we see here. Then he goes into, he says, I got a few things against you. And he says, you are letting this woman Jezebel, this prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Okay? Now, you can take this literally as a person, okay? As a person, a woman, could be a man, whatever you want to look at it, as one who will lead somebody astray. Okay? But also, I want you to look at this as what this woman represents is false teaching. Okay? Jezebel here represents false teaching. That we can allow a Jezebel spirit to come in. Has anybody ever heard about Jezebel in the Old Testament? Jezebel and Ahab. Okay? They were. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings there was. And Jezebel was his wife. And she was an evil influence on Ahab. Okay? I'm not going to go into all that story today. But here I want you to understand is that this church was allowing someone to bring teaching and be seduced to do things that are not good. Fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Okay? When you have a Jezebel spirit, it's going to cause you to do things that are abomination unto God. Okay? We have to be careful. That Jezebel spirit is out in the world today, trying to get people to do the opposite of what God wants us to do. Okay? It's a controlling spirit. And sometimes we have to be careful. We can allow a person or a group, an organization, whatever you want to call it today, to control us. Okay? Bring us what? Wrong teaching. Just like the church that we read about here before last week when we talked about Smyrna, okay? They had false doctrine. It's the same type of thing here we're seeing in this church also. It caused them to do things that are definitely abomination, okay? You can take it in the natural and then you take it in the spiritual. It says here, she taught and she seduced people to what? Commit fornication. How many know? In the natural, fornication is wrong. Well, there's spiritual fornication too. That's what I'm trying to get you to see here. In the natural and in the spiritual here. Okay? She or this person will cause you to what? Go astray. Seduce you. Okay? Seduce you to do things that you know are wrong. It can happen in the church. I'm going to really go out on a limb here today and say some things. Sometimes there are our leaders in the church who will cause you to go astray because of false doctrine. How many know what I'm talking about? There's churches out there that are way out there on certain things. Okay? They don't have a balance. They take, and I've talked about this in the past, and I'll just bring it so you get a little understanding here what we're talking about. There's a prosperity message out there. Okay? Some churches teach the prosperity message, and that's all they teach. They talk about, you know, everybody should be wealthy and millionaire and this and that. How many know what I'm talking about? That's the prosperity message. And some have taken the truth and really brought it to a different level where it's become a little bit false now. All right? You can mix truth with false doctrine, and then you really got a mess. Okay? It becomes false because it's not all true anymore. How many know today we have so many religions, we have so many denominations because man has thrown in his thoughts? All right? How many know today when you read your Bible, it doesn't talk in there about Baptists, and it doesn't say Lutherans and Presbyterians. How many know what I'm talking about? That's all man-made, okay? Man has put their thoughts and inputs and caused things to be different where we don't all agree like we should, all right? We have to be careful that we don't go away from this, okay? So this church was allowing this false teaching to come in. And because of that, God was very displeased, okay? He says here, you know what? You are harboring this false prophetess, or you're harboring this false teaching. You're letting this teaching come in and you're not stopping it. Okay? We have to be accountable to what we know and what we do. So in the end here, I'm not going to go all through this. We're just looking at little points here of each church. It says that I want you to hold fast. Okay? This church knew what the truth was. He tells them, I want you to hold fast. All right? He says that I want you to be steadfast to the end. Praise God. As believers, that's what we're called to do. Amen? Be steadfast. You know, always consistent, faithful. And that's what he's telling the church here to do. He's saying, you know what? You need to get back to where you were. If you have been involved in any of this false doctrine or teaching, you need to repent and go back to the basics. Amen? How many know sometimes we go off a little bit in our lives, and God brings us right back in line if we let Him. Amen? He says, repent here and begin to do what I've called you to do. Be consistent. Okay? We need to do that here. Praise God. It's really important. Amen. He says in verse 25, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Alright? So he's trying to get the church to come out of what they were in and go back to what they knew was all along the truth. Be steadfast in the truth. Okay? So again, we could be doing some things right, but we can also be dabbling in some evil. On the same note. Okay? Have to be careful. You know, there's a lot of things out there that the enemy tries to throw at us to get us to dabble in things that will little by little take us away from the truth if we're not careful. Heresy, false doctrine, okay? Got to be careful. This is so prevalent today. You see it, all right? This really hits home. Even though this was written years and years ago, it still is prevalent today. We have to be careful. It says now, the blessing here of the overcomer. He says, he that overcomes will have power over the nations. Amen. Anybody going to overcome in our church? That's me and you, okay? The overcomer, the one that's going to conquer till the end. God is going to give us power over the nations. Wow. Because you're going to rule and reign with Christ one day. Do you realize that? This is training ground. Amen. So we got to get ready for that. Okay? This is the church in Thyatira. All right? Look at verse 27. It says, and you, he shall rule them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. He's saying, you're going to rule and reign with me. Okay? Those of you who are going to overcome with me, you're going to have power with me over the nations. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. Let me move on here. Praise God. Next church. The church in Sardis. Okay? The church in Sardis. This church is known as the dying church. Okay? The dying church. I sure don't want that label. Amen? The dying church. The church at Sardis. Let's look at these verses. We're in chapter 3 of Revelation. We're going to read verses 1 to 6 here. It says, "And the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Listen to what he's saying. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard," and here it is again, "hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So here we are, church number 5. This is the dying church, is classified. You say, well, why are they per se dying? Well, let me read you in the Amplified Version, verse 1, it says that you are supposed to be alive, but in reality, you are dead. Okay? The church here is supposed to be alive, and they look alive, but in reality, spiritually, they're dying. Okay? Here it is again. Some church may look good on the outside. We as a person, we may look good on the outside, like everything's fine. You know, you look happy, but you know, you could be fronting it. All right? But really inside, you're dying. And why were they dying here? Well, it tells us a little bit of what's going on, and we need to look at this. They were dead in their sin. Okay? They were dead in their sin. And look at what it says here. He says, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you live, but in reality you're dead." You know, you might have a good name, a name that's known, but if you ain't walking right with God, if you ain't spiritually alive, you're really dead. You know, you're just going through the motions, but the truth is not really evident. All right? And so what are we looking at this one church that we see here? Here's the terminology that characterizes this church, that they're half-hearted. Okay? They're falling asleep. They're not really into it. And how many know that can happen to a church? It can happen to people in the church, where you just go with the motions. You just do things because you know, tradition. How many people do you know, they go to church because of tradition? Amen? And some people only go to church on Christmas and Easter because of tradition, right? Well, I have to go those 2 days because, you know, those are the two most important days in the church, you know, throughout the year. I got to come at least to those two services. But what about the other 50 weeks or whatever? Right? It's half-heartedness. You're there, but you don't really want to be there. Okay? You look like you're okay, but really you're not. It's a front. Okay? This church was being what? Half-hearted. They were actually dying. Okay? Spiritually, they were dying day by day because their heart was not right. That's a dangerous state to be in today as a believer. And I hate to say it, there's many people at that place. Okay? And that's why some people come and go from churches, because they're half-hearted. Amen? I know we don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. Okay? Half-hearted. How many people do you know at work, they seem half-hearted? They seem to miss days, right? They you know, it's a drudgery to get to work every day. Their heart is not in it. And eventually what happens? They get fired. Because they missed too many days. Amen? It's the same thing can be in the church. You know, you're only half into it. Your whole being is not really into it. You need to get to that place. So he's telling them here, you know what? You think you're alive, but you're dead. You need to wake up. Okay? What church are we like? I sure hope that's not us here today. Amen? I want to read you a scripture here to go with this. I can find it here. Here we go. In Hosea chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. It's just a small part of a verse. In Hosea 10:2a, the first part of it, this is talking about Israel, but it relates to the church today. It says, "Their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty." Their heart is divided. And because of that, God is going to put guilt on them. See, we can't have a heart that's faulty today. We can't have a heart that is come see, come saw. Amen? We can't be half-hearted when it comes to God. Amen? You're either in all the way or you're not. Praise God. We're going to talk about a church in a minute who's like that. Okay? So being half-hearted, being divided in your heart is going to cause a problem. Okay? This is what exemplified this church. So because of that, he has to tell them certain things. Now, another verse that I want to look at here as we look at another point here is that he tells them you need to strengthen what remains and hold fast. Okay? Strengthen what remains and hold fast. Now, all these churches, we read that the Lord is telling the churches, you got to hold fast. Amen? You got to be consistent. Don't be come see, come saw. Hold fast. You know, be faithful. Now, a verse that I like that goes with this is in Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, we read the scripture. Let me find it here. I know you know this verse. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast," what? "The profession of our faith." You got to hold fast to the profession of your faith. He says here, "without wavering." You can't waver. Amen? If you waver, you know, you're going to have problems. Amen? He says, hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Okay? So God here, he tells the church here in Sardis, he says, I want you to strengthen what remains and I want you to hold fast. And then he tells them, I want you to repent. Sometimes in our walk, there's a time to repent. Amen? I don't care how long you've been saved, we all make mistakes. I should have got a lot of amens there. We do. We all make mistakes. And in our walk with God, throughout situations we go through, there's come a time where we sometimes don't do the right thing and God looks at us and says, repent. Amen? Nobody should ever feel that they've arrived and that they're not going to repent. That's a proud spirit today. Amen? And God hates pride. Okay? So here, he tells them, you think you're okay, but you're not. You need to repent. Amen? It's a strong word here to this church. Okay? A word that, you know, we don't want to hear. Are we like that? I hope not. Praise God. Only we can answer that individually. Are we like that as a church? I don't believe so. Okay? But we need to be careful. Amen? Have always an attitude that if I need to repent, Lord, I want to stay humble. Amen. Because I want to be right with you. So here he goes and he gives them the blessing here. He says, he that overcomes will be clothed in white and remain in the book of life. Praise God. Amen. How many want some new clothes? You're going to get new clothes one day. And you're going to be in white. Praise God. How many know white signifies purity? Amen. You're going to be clean before God, pure before God. Amen. White raiment. And he says here, and your name will not be taken out of the book of life. How many know today, if there's any name that your name has to be in, it's the book of life today. Amen. Because that's what's going to count in the end. If your name is in there, you're okay. If it ain't in there, and that judgment time comes, There ain't no more time to say, oh, let me pray. Oh, let me go read my Bible. Oh, let me go to church more. It's over when it's judgment time. Amen? So you got to make sure your name remains in the book. Praise God. Meaning, you're consistent with God. You're going to continue to walk with God through hell and high water. Hello. If things are going bad, you're still going to be faithful to God. Amen. If things are going great, well, you're even more happy. Amen. There's no shifting. There shouldn't be. Unfortunately, as human beings, we don't walk consistently like we should. So God here has to bring some rebuke to this church at Sardis. And that's why they're called the dying church. All right, let's move on here. I like the next one. Praise God. This is what I hope we are. Amen. The church in Philadelphia, not that they're perfect, okay? The church in Philadelphia, this is called the loyal church. Praise God. The loyal church. Isn't that a good description of a church? Church is loyal. Amen. Now going back, Ephesus was good too because they were active. I like that too. You know, I want to be known as the active church. But here, Philadelphia is known as the loyal church. Let's read about this church. Verses 7 to 13. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Man, listen to what he's saying to this church. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Amen. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Wow. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Amen. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. If you look at all the churches we've looked at so far, this is probably the closest to being what God wants. Amen? Did you notice? He doesn't really say here, I have somewhat against you. You know, you've done this, this, and this, but you don't really see that in this segment here about the church at Philadelphia. This is known as the loyal church, okay? The loyal church. Now, some things that I think are important we need to look at, they're not perfect, all right, we know that, is that they have an open door here to them. An open door. Did you see that in the scriptures we read? An open door. In verse 8, he says, I know your works. Behold, I was set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. An open heaven. What do you think God was trying to tell him? We have a communication. Amen. You have an open door to me anytime you want. Amen. You can call upon me. We are together. Amen. An open door. Praise God. What a blessing. Because what? They were doing what God wanted them to do. God's always going to be there for us when we're following Him. Amen. He's always going to say, just come to me. Amen. I'm hearing. I'm watching. Amen. An open door. What a blessing here. But you notice after that, He says, for thou hast a little strength. Here's, here's something. They were not real strong. It says you got a little strength. Okay? Even though they were doing the things that they should do, they were weak though. How many know from time to time we seem to kind of slip a little bit and we need to kind of get back on track, you know? Sometimes we get physically tired. How many know today if you get physically tired or physically out of shape, that can hurt you spiritually too. Seriously, amen? If you are physically struggling, that can hurt you spiritually because your body will tend to cause you not to pursue God because you don't feel good or you feel weak. You're not strong. How many know what I'm talking about? All right, so that's important here. So why did he say, well, you're not real strong? He could be saying it for different reasons here, okay? Whatever. But he's making a point here is you are weak. You're not real strong. You're doing what I'm telling you to do, but you haven't arrived. That's another way of saying, you know, you need me. Amen. You need me. You need my help. You need my strength. Amen. But he's commending this church on the whole, though. He commends them that they're faithful. He says, you know what? You've kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. Amen. It's important. We keep God's word. How many know today we represent the name of God? Right? I mean, when you say you're a Christian, people then really begin to target you. Amen? They're going to watch you. If you're a Christian, well, then you need to walk like God, right? You need to walk like Jesus does. Amen? We represent the kingdom. Amen? It's not about Oriole Christian Assembly. It's the kingdom today. Amen? We're a representation of the kingdom. So here he tells the church, that's why he says they're loyal. He says, you've been faithful, you've kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. But interesting in there, then he brings up the synagogue of Satan, he brings up to them. He says, there is people who are not of you, they're of the synagogue of Satan, and they even say that they're Jews and they're not. I read this again as, you know what, people are going to tell you they're this, and they're not. They're this. Okay? Not everybody, what they tell you they are, is really truly what they are. So he says to them, he says, I'm going to make them to come and worship before your feet, and they're going to know that I love you. Amen? There's a day coming that people, they're going to really know who God is and who His people are and who His children are. And there's going to be a day that's coming that what? Here it is again, that we are going to be exalted by God. Not because we're really anybody special, but we love God, we serve God. We're of the kingdom of God. Those who are not, there's coming a day of judgment. Okay? And he's trying to tell the church here, you know what? You will one day be exalted because you've kept my word. Amen. You've kept my name. Praise God. You've been patient. Did you see that in verse 10? Patient. How many know we have to be patient? Sometimes, you know, we have a lack of patience. Lord, why? Why hasn't this happened? And how long, Lord, is this going to take? And why, and why, and why? Amen. A lot of times we use that word a lot. Why, Lord? Amen. Why? But he doesn't say that here to them. He commends them on their patience. Praise God. I hope that we're like that too here at Oriole, that He can commend us on our patience. He says, you know what? I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation because you've been loyal to me, faithful to me. When it gets really hard, God is going to be there for us. Amen? He was there for them because they were patient. Amen? They didn't give up. Praise God. They had some good attributes here. They were loyal before God. So God says, you know what? I'm going to exalt you, and I'm going to keep you. And then he tells them, like he's told most of the churches here, you need to hold fast. Hold fast to the end. Amen. Hold fast. Okay? Don't worry about how it looks. You can't go by what you see. It's not always going to look good. Amen? But that's where your faith comes in. Praise God. That's where your trust comes in. Amen. When your job's not looking good, do you give up? No. You've got to continue to press on. Amen? Say, Lord, help me change this situation around. And He'll do it. He's faithful. Praise God. They were commended here. And I like what he says here. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown." Did you catch that today? Don't let anybody take your crown. Amen? Your crown. We all have a crown. Praise God. One day, that crown's going to be put on our heads. Amen? Signifying, you finished the race. You went all the way. You had these attributes of the loyal church. Amen? You didn't let any individual steal your crown or any system. Okay? Or any government. I can use a lot of different words there. Okay? You're going to continue to be there. That's why this church is called the Loyal Church. And then he says, you know what? The one who overcomes here will be a pillar in God's sanctuary. Amen. Meaning, you ain't going anywhere. Praise God. You're going to be there, and you're going to be part of God's kingdom forever. You're going to be like a pillar. Amen. Because you're part of God's kingdom. What a blessing here today. Amen. This is the Loyal Church. Last one here. Church number 7. The Church of the Laodiceans. This church, we're going to read about in verses 14 to 22. This church is known as the Lukewarm Church. I know you've heard about this church, because many have probably preached on this particular church, okay? This is the Lukewarm Church. Okay, let's read what it says here about the lukewarm church. I pray it's not us today. Amen. 14, verse 14. It says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich." Now listen to what we're reading here now. "You say that I am rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You see, you're seeing a little bit different of some of the other churches we read earlier, okay? He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, amen, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." This is the last one here. This is the lukewarm church. Okay? You definitely don't want to be in this church. Lukewarm. Okay? There's similarities from this church to some of the other churches we read about. Okay? We read here that this church is really lukewarm, or another way to put it is they're also half-hearted. Okay? They're kind of in between. They're indifferent. You know, they're how many know when you're thirsty, you need a good cold glass of water. Amen? You don't want one that's lukewarm. It don't taste good. Amen? If you drink it, I know these days that are hot, you know, I always keep water in my car. And when I go into my car, if the water's been in there a long time, I'm thirsty and I'll put it to my mouth, but I can't drink a lot of it because it's lukewarm, right? That's what he's saying here about this church. They're lukewarm. They bring a distaste to God because they're like half in and half out. Their whole heart is not in it, okay? He says, this is not the way I want you to be. And they're backslidden. When you think about it, you look at it, they're really backslidden. And here's the part that's different than one of the previous churches we read. He says to them, he says, you say that you're rich. Right? He says, you're increased with goods and you don't need anything. But God says to them here, you don't even realize how wretched you are. Okay? He says, you don't realize that you're miserable and that you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. So what he's saying is here that you are self-satisfied. You're proud. Amen? I got everything I need. I don't need God. Amen? How many people do you know like that? Don't even tell me about God. I don't need God in my life. Amen? It's what? A proud spirit. You're self-satisfied. You think you're fine. And God is saying, you don't even realize. When you know people who say that, and they mean it, they're so lost they don't even realize it. Okay? They're so caught up in the world and in what they have and what they're trying to get that God is not in that picture, you know, which can happen easily. You know, being what? Lukewarm. Not really being what? On fire. God says, I'd rather see you either on fire or totally cold. Don't walk the fence. Amen? Don't straddle the fence. He's rebuking this church. He's saying, you're backslidden. You need to come back. You need to repent. What a good situation here. They're so blind that, you know what? They're so deceived. You can get to a point where you're deceived. You don't even know that something's wrong. The devil has you, okay? You're blind. You don't even get it. And a lot of people are like that today. This church is reflective of many in the church on the whole today. They're lukewarm, like I said before. If you notice, in all these churches, there's a lot of similarities. Okay? A lot of similarities in all of them. Because everyone is not perfect like us today. Amen? Everyone. Okay? We all have faults here and there. You know, we may be strong in some areas and weaker in others. But some of the things we talked about in these 2 weeks are pretty serious things. Okay? This is a serious thing that we cannot be lukewarm. Amen? We cannot be. If we think we're getting lukewarm, then we need some help. Amen? Say, Lord, do something. I need to get on fire for you. Amen? I don't want to lose my passion for you. I don't want to lose my passion to come to church. It needs to be important to me. Amen? I don't want to lose my desire to pray or read my Bible. Amen? We could get in a lukewarm state, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's little by little by little that it happens. Then all of a sudden you say, man, where am I at? I'm far from God. Okay? Happens all the time. That was this church. So he tells them here, he says, you need anointing. He says, you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you can see. Amen. If someone's in this kind of position today, you need the anointing of God to come on you to break through. Praise God. The anointing what? Breaks the yoke in our lives. Amen. Hindrances we go through. It's the anointing. Praise God. The Spirit of God that will change us from one place to another. He tells them, you need anointing here. You need to what? Be zealous. And you need to repent. Amen. Again, we hear that word, repent. See, we got to be zealous. We can't be just come see, come saw. That's not reflective of God today. Amen. Our church cannot be that way. Amen. We must be hungry for God, passive for God, thirsty for God. Amen. We must have desire always. And you know, the pastor can't do that for you. How many know that? Amen. You got to want it. You got to do your homework, praise God. When you come here, this is glory time. How many know what I'm talking about? You got to do your homework at home. Amen. I don't live with you 24/7. Amen. I got to make sure I'm doing my homework. But when we come here, it should be awesome time. Amen. Well, God has His way. Amen. We love to be in the house of the Lord. Not that we're concerned what time it is. Amen. Oh, Pastor Rich, you went over. What's the matter? You lose your, you know, forget about time? I got to go here at 1 o'clock. I got to go there at 1. I understand that. But we shouldn't be, you know, that way. Praise God. Sunday's what? The Lord's Day. Amen? It's the Lord's Day. We shouldn't be concerned about the clock. And we are respective of everybody's time. Amen? I mean, church I was part of for many years, I'm going to tell you, some of the services we had 3-4 hour services. People never wanted to go home at our old church. And I had to be the one to close the doors. A lot of times I had to tell them, it's over now, we're going home. I had to kick them out. I'm serious. I was the one to close up. All right? That should be our desire. Never concern, you know, when it's Sunday, it should be the Lord's Day. Okay? Don't worry so much about the clock, even though we do respect everybody's time. We try to be fair in that. Okay? See, where's our heart? Amen. Are we zealous for God? He says here, you need to what? Open your door. Did you catch that? Open your door, he tells them here. In verse 20, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. He's telling this church, open your door. Open your heart. Amen? You got to do that. You open your heart every day for God to come in. And he says, if you do that, man, I'm going to come and I'm going to minister to you and fellowship with you and give you what you need spiritually. But you got to open the door. Amen? You have to open the door. Praise God. He that overcomes will sit with Jesus on His throne. Praise God. The overcomer. Amen. The one who conquers, who don't give up till the end, praise God, is going to be sitting one day with Jesus on His throne. Amen. How many look forward to that day? Praise God. You should. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to Oriel Christian Assembly Church too. Amen. What church are we like? Okay? Today. And what church are you like? And I'm like. There's 7 of them here. Amen. 7 different stages. 7 different churches. Some doing good. Some not doing good. You know, some doing some good things and then not doing other good things right. Some allowing false doctrine to come in. Heresy to come in. Allowing the false prophetess to rule and dictate, to influence you. You know, we can call a lot of things a false prophet today. Whatever keeps you from God could be that false prophetess we read about here today. Amen? Whatever that is. There's all kinds of things that could come between us and God if we let it today. Amen? What is it? Only you know. So I brought this out that we would look at ourselves. Amen? We would look at our lives and say, Lord, who am I like? You know, where do I compare with as far as this church? And maybe where am I a little bit like that church too that's not good? So that we can say, Lord, help us today. Amen? How many know we haven't arrived here today? Amen? We need help. We need help. We need God to continue to work in our lives. To those rough edges, make them smooth. Those weak areas, say, God, help me in the weak areas to make them strong. Because I want to be an example to others. Praise God. I want to be right with you. Amen. I want to be like that loyal church. Praise God. How many know you are the church today? Not this building. You and me. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anything is related the last 2 weeks to you, in your life, I pray you've said it and you'll say it today. Lord, help me. Praise God. Help me here, Lord. This is maybe my strong point, but you know what? I'm a little bit weak here. Help me to make this strong now. Praise God. That should be our attitude today. All of us. Praise God. with the pastor first. Amen. I have not arrived by any means. I have to deal with the same things you deal with every day. Okay? All the things the devil throws at you, he probably throws it at me more because I'm a leader. And I have to fight things. Okay? So I know it's not easy, but what? We can overcome. We are overcomers here. Amen? Because we got the Lord in our lives. Praise God. So I'm just going to pray and close in prayer. And if that's you, you say, Pastor Rich, I need some help in this area. Let the Lord know as we're praying. Raise your hand. Say, Lord, help me in this area. You don't have to speak it out. God knows what you're dealing with, where your weakness is. God knows. Give it to Him. Say, Lord, make my weakness become a strength today in Jesus' name. I give it to you. Give it to Him. Say, Lord, I'm going to be an open door. Praise God. Meaning I'm going to open my heart right now before you, God. I'm going to open my heart before you. Touch me right now. Lord, you see where we're at here today. Lord, you know where every one of us are, where we're heading, where we've been, Lord. God, you see the inside that sometimes we hide from others, Lord. God, I pray today, by your Spirit, you would do some heart surgery right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've studied about 7 different churches. So many different characteristics that represent these churches. They all represent the church of Jesus Christ today. It's no different from years ago than today, Lord. God, help us today. Perfect us today, Lord. Let that fire, Lord, never die. Let it never be quenched, Lord. Lord, we want to be on fire. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be cold. We want to be on fire today, God. Let your Spirit move mightily in every one of us today. Lord, forgive us and cleanse us of those areas that we may have been weak, Lord. God, make them, let there be change in our lives today, God. Do a work in us, Father. Help us to be able to open up every single day to you and be honest and not be proud, Lord. Be humble before you, God, in this walk, Lord. We can never do anything unless you're with us, Lord. Without you, we're nothing today. But with you, we're more than conquerors, Lord. So we thank you for your Spirit today. Bless each one here today. Bless each family represented here, Lord. Help us to be that light in this world of darkness, Lord. That we would be that loyal church, God. That, Lord, you would be proud of, God. That you would be boastful of today. For we are your people. We ask this today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. And amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, I'm up here. If not, greet one another. Don't forget Bible study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.